Hi, it's Richard Lannan here for Set for Success, and it's always great to be back on the air. We're going to continue our discussion on what it takes to be successful in your business, your career, and your life. Today, we're going to chat about your productivity with two guests from organizational perspective and the individual perspective. But first, the Set for Success thought. The following is an excerpt from my book, Set for Success, an approach on strategic planning and building action roadmaps to help you achieve your goals. Move with precision. In the movie, Dances with Wolves, John Dunbar, the main character, describes the buffalo hunt. In particular, there's a narrative section where he mentions that he's witnessed no other group of people who could move with military precision, using only what is needed and wasting very little. You see, John Dunbar was a military man on a journey that brought him to the Lakota people. He learned many things about himself and about a very different group of people and the way they were organized. He learned that this through interaction with the leaders and the people, through dialogue, through celebration, and through drawings that depicted their processes, the way of life of a people, their travel and hunting patterns, and the way they were efficient and effective at what they did and how they lived. Not only Dances with Wolves is a great movie, it is also a study in organizational structure and the importance of process and productivity. In a way, it is like studying being lean and kinds and opportunities needed to be productive. Today, we are going to learn more about productivity, about being lean, and finding kinds and opportunities from our guest, Michael Beer, an expert in the space, I think particularly in the healthcare space. We are also going to chat with author Hugh Culver about his book, Give Me a Break, The Art of Making Time for Your Work, or for work. If you have any questions or thoughts about productivity, then send me a note at richard@braveworld.ca. So let's get on with it. Guest-wise, Michael Beer and Hugh Culver. Well, Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard. It's great to be here.
Now, Hugh, I know you're on the phone, and so welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm glad to be here.
I'm really quite excited to talk to you guys today about the topic of productivity, efficiency, and effectiveness, and process, and all of those wonderful things. But let's get acquainted with our guests first. So, Michael, why don't we start with you? Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been a management consultant for about the last 16 years in private practice with my company called the Lean Consulting Group. However, I've been involved for over 30 years in various quality initiatives, both in government and in private sector. So my expertise is really quality processes to really make companies more effective.
More effective in a way. And you mentioned about being involved in different industries. Do you have a particular industry that you specialize in?
I specialize in healthcare.
In healthcare. And what areas of healthcare? Because I think you've pretty much done a lot of work in North America. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Done a lot of work in North America, mostly in hospitals.
Okay.
My specialty is smaller hospitals because it's just, it's a joy to work in. And also long-term care as well. So I've worked in nursing home organizations, helping them put quality initiatives and process improvements into place.
Now, what do you mean by smaller hospitals? Maybe we should just explore that a little bit. What's the difference between a smaller hospital and a bigger hospital?
The smaller hospitals, when I'm thinking of smaller hospitals, I'm thinking of 25 beds or less. And the advantage of that is that even though their leadership team is very stressed, you can really help an organization make some dramatic changes that you can really see. You can get far more involved in a smaller organization than you can if you're working in a large organization with larger teams. So it's more a little more hands-on for me, and I really love that day-to-day talking with people and helping guide their hands.
Yeah, and you know what? I understand that. I call it mid-level enterprises within a Canada context. And that's often, 100 employees, $25 million. Now, I'm not suggesting those are the numbers you're dealing with in terms of smaller hospitals, but basically it's just sort of that kind of concept. And you can work directly with the leadership team and the employees.
Exactly. We're talking in terms of hospital bed numbers, 25 beds or less.
Yeah.
Nursing homes, somewhere between 25 and 75 beds.
Let's go to sort of some words, okay? So in my introduction, I used a few words. And one of the words I used was lean. what the heck is lean? I mean, I understand from a lean perspective because I just dropped 15 pounds, so I am leaner.
And you look great.
Tired, but great.
Tired, but great.
but I don't think that's the kind of lean we're talking about here. So what do we mean by lean?
Well, lean formally in the literature doesn't have a meaning. It's not an acronym, but it's talking about leaning an organization down, getting rid of waste, getting rid of wasted efforts, getting rid of wasted time and those kinds of things. So they talk about lean. When I deal with my clients, though, I have turned it into an acronym.
Oh, good.
Leveraging Empowerment and Engagement Now.
Leveraging Empowerment and Engagement Now. Yeah, you just looked at your book.
Yeah, and I got that two mixed up, as usual.
Let me try it again.
Leveraging Engagement and Empowerment Now.
Okay. Okay, so can we explore that a little bit? Why don't you expand on what you mean by that?
Lean is, a lot of times people think in terms of lean is we're going to bring this process down, we're going to drive it down from the top, and we're going to just drive this into an organization. And really, for effective organizational change, you need to drive it not only from the top, but you need to drive it from the bottom up.
Yeah, bottom-up initiatives.
You've got to get everybody engaged, you've got to hold everybody accountable, and you've got to make everybody part of the process. When that happens, magic happens in an organization because people start to take charge. They feel that they're part of the decision-making process. They feel that they're part of the change, and change isn't happening to them, but they're helping change happen. They're being part of the change. So a lot of the resistance to change, all of those things go away when you really drive it from the bottom of the organization.
From the bottom of the organization overall. When you're brought into the organization, is it usually from a bottom-up initiative or usually from a top-down initiative?
Well, usually, it starts at the top because the executives decide to go with, you know, to engage in this process and to go along the lean journey. But as part of the discussion process with organizations, right away up front, we lay it down the line, is really if you want to become effective, we have to get your front line engaged. And we work with front line and managers putting process into place.
You know what? We're going to take a short break. And when we do that, and then we'll come back and talk a bit more about lean and maybe get some examples from you, some programs that you've worked on. Sure. And then we'll bring Hugh Culver, who's on the phone, into the process, and we'll sort of talk about how that applies in terms of some of his thinking and everything too. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and today we're talking with Michael Beer. And we had just before a break, we were talking about lean, and he had an acronym. Michael, what was that acronym again? What did it stand for? Come on.
Leveraging Empowerment and Accountability Now.
Now, and we were talking about leveraging Empowerment and Accountability Now, lean, and making your organization maybe more efficient and effective, either from a top-down initiative or a bottom-up, and really engaging people. Michael, during the break, we were talking a little bit about, you know, are there some examples you could share? So maybe there's a story you could share regarding how an organization maybe achieved some of the lean thinking that you've talked about.
Well, one organization that I worked with, Richard, we were working with the radiology department.
In healthcare, and
I think this might resonate with Hugh. People were talking about how tired they were, how much running around they had to do, and all the rest of this. And we said, okay, well, let's have a look at exactly what you do. So we did that. We did what's called a Gemba walk. We just followed people around. We observed exactly what they did. We saw how they walked. We hung a pedometer on them because we were curious to see how, you know, what the running around was. And we discovered that the layout of the radiology department was inefficient.
Okay.
We made a couple of small moves that enabled people all of a sudden, they were doing a lot less running around. They weren't as tired at the end of the day. We saved so much time during the day, they were actually able to take four additional radiology patients to do the whatever they were doing with them. And we found that patient satisfaction increased because people now weren't on the table as long. So it was going faster. Physician satisfaction increased because they were getting results faster. Employee satisfaction result increased because they weren't running around so much. They were far more effective and more efficient. So it was a great news story all around. And with the additional opportunity for more business, to see more patients, their revenues increased. So it was a win for everyone.
Yeah, it sounds to me with that efficiency, I mean, we look for measurements, right?
Yep.
I mean, I know within the lean world, you look for measurements. We call them key performance indicators,
yep.
KPIs. So if you're listening, you know, key performance indicators, that's usually what it is. And it sounds to me like you found some hard and soft measurements that you were able to identify, right?
Absolutely. You know, hard measurements. We know that the procedure took less time. We know we could put more people through. We could track revenue. The more softer things was in terms of the patient satisfaction, employee satisfaction, physician satisfaction. So we were able to find key KPIs in both hard and soft.
Yeah. And, you know, congratulations on that. I mean, especially in the healthcare industry where, let's face it, I mean, the emphasis or the focus is on the patient and getting them back to health. I mean, and so if you can be more efficient and effective within the healthcare industry, oh my gosh, I mean, that's an incredible opportunity. And I even know in the Canadian healthcare industry, some of the hospitals, for example, St. Boniface Hospital here has been involved in some healthcare or lean type initiatives and everything too. And so has the Health Science Center.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm very aware of those. One of the other words I used, earlier on in the first segment was the word Kaizen, finding Kaizen opportunities. So I'm hoping that you actually are familiar with the term and know how to define it overall.
A Kaizen event, in my mind anyway, is an opportunity to do a project, a rapid cycle improvement project. That's how I define Kaizen. And what we mean by rapid cycle, we have a problem. Let's put a team together. Let's solve the problem as quickly as we can and then move on.
And then move on. I know that there's a video called Making Toast. Have you ever seen it on YouTube? You know what? It's probably one of the most painful videos to watch because it's all about this guy who makes toast for his wife and she wants her toast. And so then they go through the process of all the different things that he did. And then they go through all the things he could have did. And he makes it a second time. And he's actually able to improve the process along the way. So if you want to actually check out YouTube, you can actually check it out and look for a video about Kaizen opportunities making toast.
I'll do that when I leave.
It's well worth it. But there are some things that actually come into Kaizen opportunities that maybe we can sort of mention. And sorry, I'm flicking through a few pages here. And I have to be honest with you, it's something that I wrote myself in Process and Productivity. And general, Kaizen looks at waste from some key categories.
Yep.
And maybe you're familiar with some of those categories. And one of them being waste of motion, waste of waiting, waste of transportation, waste of storage, waste of defects, waste of processing, and waste in overall production.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think that's what you're actually referring to.
Exactly. And the more waste we can eliminate, the more streamlined and lean our processes become. And that's what lean is really all about.
And that's what it's all about. And that's, that's where I was trying to get to. Now, Michael, I know you've written a book that's called Lean for the Healthcare Industry, an Owner's Manual for Improving Patient Satisfaction and Financial Performance. This is something that you wrote some while ago, I take it?
I published about a year ago.
About a year ago. Okay, and I understand you're actually in the process of writing another book, or that's almost complete.
Almost complete. We hope to have it out in early September.
Okay.
And basically what it's all about is we're calling it the Quality Assurance and Process Improvement. And it's a lean approach to healthcare, a lean approach to long-term care, and really a lean approach to any business. Because if you just put your business in, the principles will work. It's so beautiful, lean. The principles of lean are so simple.
Yeah, and I know that even in the... Now, we've been talking more in the healthcare industry, but I know that lean has come out of, I guess, the manufacturing industry, I believe.
Started off Toyota in the late 40s, wanted to build the best car in the world, wanted to be the best car manufacturer, and they're the ones that started the ball rolling with lean.
Yeah. There's a gentleman that comes to mind, Demings. You're familiar with his work?
Very familiar with Deming.
Okay, so say a little bit about him.
Yeah, the quality guru. I think in the 20s or the 30s.
And in the 70s, too.
A long career that spanned it all about quality.
Well, about quality improvement.
Quality improvement.
So I can't help myself but mention some of these people because I myself am a product of Honda years ago in my 20s. And I got the opportunity to sit on the quality assurance team with Honda when I was 20 years of age. And I learned so much during that time period. To our listeners out there, we've been talking a bit about lean and Kaizen opportunities and finding ways to create efficiency and effectiveness in our organization. When we come back, we're going to slide Hugh Culver in here. And Hugh is an author of Give Me a Break, The Art of Making Time for Work for You. And so we're going to talk a bit more on how do we apply all this to our individual lives, and what is Hugh's take on this? So this is Richard Landon for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Landon here for Set for Success in Your Business and Your Life. Have you ever wondered what it is to be successful? I know that I do, and throughout my life I've often wondered what even the definition of success is. And I suspect for some people it might be, you know, having a nice house and a car and lots of money. And for somebody else it might be going on adventures and big trips and traveling the world and seeing all sorts of different places. And yet another person, it might be a focus on maybe their family, their friends, and maybe somebody else, it's all about spirituality, their mind, their body, and spirit. I mean, success can be many things to many people. But I think as we actually go through life, we look for ways to find our success. And maybe part of that is being involved in good process and productivity and the way we sort of approach things. And that's why today I'm talking to Michael Baer, who happens to be a lean expert, and Hugh Culver, who's really all about being successful in your life and your business, too. So when we return, we're going to continue our discussion on what it means to be successful in your business, in your life, and our conversation. We're also going to do the 1, 2, 3 set for success tips, the things you must do to be successful at anything that you do in your life and your business. This is Richard Landon, and we're going to be right back. Hi, it's Richard Landon for Set for Success, and we've been having a great time talking to Michael Baer and also Hugh Culver, who's on the phone. And right now, I actually want to switch over to Hugh a little bit and talk about his book and his work. Now, Hugh is the author of Give Me a Break, The Art of Making Time Work for You. Hugh, again, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks, Richard. Yeah, glad to be here.
Great. You know, Hugh, I've had the opportunity to read through your book a little bit, but before we start on that, why don't we tell our listeners a little bit about you?
Sure. So I actually came out of the adventure tourism industry, kind of an unusual industry, and started off as a river guide, like lots of people, and when I was very, very young, and then watched that company grow. It was my brother's company, and then I became a partner, and then I started to learn how to manage people, and or I thought I learned how to manage people, and we sold that company, started another company that flew people into Antarctica, so the world's most exclusive adventure tourism company, and so now I was dealing in millions of dollars, and what I consistently found as I went through these different businesses was that even though they were successful, I was completely busy all the time, and I was really getting burnt out, and then my only solution was to sell the company. So what happened was after selling those companies, I started to be invited to speak to corporations. I was in graduate school, and over the last 15 years, I've tried to sort of understand, well, why is it I got to be so busy and ineffective in a way, and then how can I do it better? And so what I speak about to folks is how to really be more effective both in work and in life. And there's two parts to my business. One is as a public speaker. I speak 45 times a year in Canada. And the other side is helping speakers to create a more successful company.
Yeah, okay. So you're involved in both sides of the equation. You mentioned about being part of the adventure business or adventure business itself. And I think you mentioned about something about Antarctica. I just want to explore that a little bit first. And didn't you say something about that you created a travel company that went to Antarctica?
Yeah, so it started off as a mountain climbing company. Okay. Antarctica is part of the seven summits, so the highest mountain on each of the seven continents. So everybody that wanted to complete the seven summits had to climb in Antarctica and on Vincent Massif. So we started off just as a mountain climbing company and then expanded it to flights to the pole. So by the time I sold my equity in the company, we had 4 airplanes and 35 staff, and we were a multi-million-dollar company, and we had sales all over the world.
Okay. So that's quite a sizable adventure company. It's interesting you mentioned about the planes. Now, I've read through your book, and there's a story in there, the plan like a pilot. And since we've been talking about lean and efficiency and effectiveness and those kind of things, maybe you could share that story with us a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's a great one. So, you know, it's always funny in life, I think, when you can take a lesson out of something that's completely, you know, tangential or completely unrelated to what you're really looking at. So I was really trying to understand, well, how could I be successful? I'm an ambitious person. I love to grow things. I love sales and marketing. But how could I do it, you know, while still maintaining a great life? You know, I've got young children there, and, you know, I've got a wife who also has a career. And one day I was talking to one of my pilots in Antarctica, and he was telling me how, you know, over half the time he was off course. And I started to think, well, how is it that pilots actually are successful despite the fact that they're pulled off course? And the analogy there, of course, is that we're pulled off course all the time. We have distractions. We have new initiatives. We have new invitations. We have the phone ringing. And now, of course, we have our smartphones and email. But what a pilot does that's unique is they always have a flight plan. And the flight plan is a very clear description of where they're going to land. And so I created this notion that if people in the workplace created a flight plan that took them to Friday or whatever the end of their natural week is, that they would actually, first of all, be forced to plan in a very, very specific way. But secondly, they would have really good metrics in terms of their success. And so I developed this system called Plan Like a Pilot. And the beauty of it is you can really use anything to record. It doesn't really matter. You can use a journal or Evernote or Outlook. But it's more of a concept. And it's probably the most popular part of my Think, Plan, Act model.
Okay. So plan like a pilot so you recognize that, if I understand correctly, that you're going to go off course. But if you have a plan, you can always come back on the course?
Exactly, and it's a little more than that. The idea is that you have a flight plan that takes you to Friday. So it's a very specific, very short list. So in my case, you know, Richard, you know, like yourself, I mean, I constantly have a couple of dozen major projects on the go.
I have too many on the go.
Right, and then meanwhile, during the week, three more come up. And so, you know, like yesterday, we just got an announcement that one of our assistants in the States is, you know, has got a health issue. Well, okay, now we've got to take some action on that. Well, that was not planned. So what's my job with Plan Like a Pilot for my own personal success is to make sure that that list that I'm looking at every week is actually going to be successful. So this is not a to-do list. This is a very short list that I've pulled out of all of my objectives for the year and for the month, and I'm saying I can do those 12 things this week. And the trick is to get really masterful at creating a really good list so that you feel successful every Friday. And that's very, very difficult because people will overplan,
yes,
they will overcommit, and so that's the art. So the art is to get better at planning so that you can actually start to create this cycle of plan, success, and reward.
And that reminds me of the expression, we don't plan to fail, we fail to plan.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of sums it up quite nicely for you. I hope so, anyway.
Right. I was just going to say that, you know, one of the things I have as an advantage as a speaker is that I'm constantly in front of hundreds of people. And so I can test ideas, but also not only do we do annual surveys, but I can get a really good read on where, you know, where people struggle. And one of the places that they struggle is overwhelm, just feeling this sense of overwhelm. I have too much on my plate. And that's what this can help with.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that's a very common challenge of our society today, as you mentioned, with, you know, so many communication avenues and so much going on, everything being so instant that it's easy to become overwhelmed.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we're talking with author Hugh Culver. And Hugh's the author of Give Me a Break, The Art of Making Time Work for You. We were talking about the idea of planning like a pilot and having a plan that extends out to Friday. So when we return, we're going to talk about the Set for Success tips, the things that you must do in your business, in your life, in your career to be successful. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannan. Welcome back to the show, Set for Success. My guests today are Michael Beard, lean expert for the healthcare industry, and Hugh Culver, author of Give Me a Break, speaker extraordinaire, and an adventurous to boot. And he was talking earlier on about the idea of actually planning like a pilot in order to be able to make course corrections and getting the Friday feeling as if you've actually accomplished things, having a plan to boot. Now, in this segment of the show, I do this thing thing called the Set for Success Tips, the things you must do either in your business or your career or your life to be successful, and whatever successful means for you. And I always like to go to my guests to actually, hopefully they have sort of three things they can share each, and I know that makes six things, but we usually sort of break them down depending on how much time. So, Michael, since I opened the show up with you earlier on, I would like to know what your first Set for Success tip would be.
My first Set for Success tip. Ooh, that comes off the tongue difficult.
Yeah.
My first tip would be one of the first principles of Lean.
Okay.
Treat everyone with respect.
Everyone with respect.
Your boss, your coworkers, your customers. You treat everyone with respect.
And what does that exactly mean?
That means that we listen to each other, we discuss things like adults to each other, we listen to each other's idea, we work together to implement positive change. So we treat everyone with respect.
And I think, you know, I've always liked the expression, hopefully I get it right, people respect being respected.
That, you know? Exactly.
And I think I heard that somewhere when I was a kid, and that sort of always stayed with me. That's a good tip. That's a good tip. Hugh, I know you're on the phone there. I would like to get a tip from you. What would be one of your Set for Success tips?
Sure. So the one that comes to mind is boundaries.
Okay.
Again, really popular with my audiences, and that's the simple idea of blocking time that repeats ideally every day when you are strategically unavailable. So that could be for your own personal, you know, hygiene. So meditation, yoga, exercise, reading, artwork, but it also could be at work. So, for example, when I show up at my office in the morning, the first 90 minutes, I am planning to do the hardest 50% of my day. And so for those 90 minutes, I don't really answer the phone. I don't do email. And that's a boundary. And so create boundaries throughout your day. Be strategically unavailable, and you'll actually be far more effective overall.
You know, I'd like to weigh in on this one, too. I have 27 years in the consulting industry, and I worked with this woman by the name of Agnes McCain some years ago. And Agnes sat me down and she had me take a calendar for my whole year. And she said to me this, Richard, I want you to outline everything in your calendar when you're not available to work. And so I'm going to share that one as a boundary thing too, off the one that you said. And I found that an incredible thing to do. And now I actually start my year off that way. I always start off planning for all the time I'm not available for work, not for the time that I'm available for work. And it makes a huge difference in how you actually look at your year. So I'm just going to throw that one in there, Hugh. Michael, I'm going to go back to you. I actually said we're going to do one, two, threes. So why don't you give us another one from your perspective?
When you're thinking in terms of process improvement and what to do, never do anything unless you've listened to the voice of your customer. To hear what your customer is telling you. Do what they want you to do. You will be successful, and they will as well.
Voice of the customer, the V-O-C.
V-O-C, the voice of the customer, okay. Paramount before you do anything.
Before you do anything. Actually, that's a pretty good one. Do you think there's a real issue with organizations not listening to their customer?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
I think it's huge, or else they discount what the customer says because of their own bias and ideas of what they think is happening. But the only perception really that matters is the customer's voice, and we need to make them happy.
What do you think about the statement, the customer's always right?
Well, aren't they always right, Richard?
Well, actually, you know what? I'm actually a bit of a contrarian on that one. I don't believe the customer is always right.
The customer may not necessarily always be right. But again, you can fire a customer.
Yes, you can. Actually, you can. I learned that lesson years ago.
And if it is very contrarian to what you're trying to do or trying to accomplish, maybe, just maybe, it's the wrong fit for you. And maybe that's the voice you need to listen to.
Yeah. And I know also voice of the customer does not necessarily mean the customer is always right. It's
no.
A matter of just understanding what they're saying and seeing if it makes sense for your organization.
Exactly. And really, you know, asking the right questions and drilling down to listen to the customer to say, what really do we need to do to make this person happier? Do we need to change to become more effective?
Okay, so I think we have time for one more tip, and I'm going to throw it over to Hugh Culver, who's on the phone. Hugh, what would be an additional tip that you would give?
Okay, so this is a big one, and that is create a new habit. And it doesn't really matter what it is, but the research on habits is actually overwhelmingly distinctive around the idea that habits develop discipline. And when I'm working with entrepreneurs or people in the workplace, what I notice is that they're very sloppy around habits. So they complain they can't get enough done or that they're overwhelmed, et cetera. And what I recommend is really contrarian. I recommend, for example, go to sleep at the same time every night. Drink water when you wake up. It doesn't really matter, but develop one new habit and stick with it. And what the research shows is that when you develop one habit in one area, it's much, much easier to develop habits in other areas. So, for example, personal habits will actually develop stronger discipline and willpower for work habits.
Yeah, and I actually agree with that. You know, your personal habits are really important. You okay with me weighing in on one of these? I've been sort of watching a little TV lately, and I've watched Dr. Oz, and I'm going to give you another one that's a bedtime one, right? Go to the bathroom 45 minutes before you go to bed, right? And then go to the bathroom again just before you go to bed. And you're less likely to wake up in the middle of the night and have a good night's sleep, which means that you'll be better rested in the morning. Or you only go to the bathroom once during the night as opposed to maybe a couple of times. I know. I had to share that. I think that's a good habit to have. There. So, Michael, one more thing. You know what? Final thought. What would be a final thought from you? 15 seconds or less.
Oh, gosh. Pretty much covered everything. And I guess the final thought is to go back to the first hint that I gave. Respect.
Respect. All right, respect.
Treat everyone with respect. It'll make the difference.
Will make a difference. I'm speaking to Michael Bear, expert in the lean space for the healthcare industry, and also Hugh Culver, author for Give Me a Break. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Richard Landon for Set for Success. See you in a little bit. Hi, it's Richard Landon for Set for Success, and today we've been talking to really two great champions, both in business and in life. I'm Michael Bear, who's a lean expert for the healthcare industry, and I guess for other industries too, and a Hugh Culver, the author of Give Me a Break, The Art of Making Time for Work for You. You know, Hugh is still on the line, so Hugh, if you had one final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
Well, I think it comes down to something really simple, and that is, you know, I'll quote Viktor Frankl, the author of Man's Search for Meaning, and that is, between stimulus and response, there is a space, and in that space lies our freedom and power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and freedom. If there's one thing I always encourage people to do is just continue to make better choices. You know, it's easy to point the finger at the environment and what people are doing, but make better choices and you'll have a better life.
You have a better life. Make better choices and you have a better life. This is Richard Landon for Set for Success. And I want to take this opportunity to thank my guests, Michael Beard and Hugh Culver, for joining me today. And I definitely want to take this opportunity to thank you for listening. Again, it's Richard Landon, and you make it a great day.